You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Come a point there's just no one left to purge, really. It's just like a bunch of like heavily armed rednecks like facing each other through windows.
America.
Yeah,
like have you driven through Alabama?
Well, that's pretty much what that is. Sure, but I mean in this actual cities.
Okay.
Not the remains of civilization that is Alabama.
That's my bigger thing, because like I was thinking about it walking out the movie today, and we're gonna get to the plot, but like the more stressing thing about the purge in that world is that there are about 30% of people that would like to kill somebody if they could.
Well,
it's
that's...
like, the fuck?
Isn't that the whole point?
Yeah, but it's like, it's so jarring. Like, the first two movies, it didn't really hit me on that level. And then I was walking out, I was like, wow, they're saying that 30% of America would just fucking kill each other if we could.
Well, that's the core of, I think, the horror aspect of these films isn't really even, oh God, people are jumping out at you, whatever. It's the idea that even though the straight up idea of like, oh, they're going to legalize the purge isn't going to happen, it might as well at this point.
Yeah.
We're like, there's so much in the things that the way they describe the way Americans act these days. I mean, just go on Facebook for 30 seconds or read a YouTube comment that we're like, wow, we really are that bloodthirsty and self-absorbed. And this movie, The Purge, election year, certainly has fully embraced the politics of this thing, actually making it where it is a candidate who says there shouldn't be a purge anymore, and them going, oh, well, we're going to lift that whole thing on The Purge before where the super rich and politicians were
the thing with this franchise
not allowed.
It started off as a political metaphor.
Yes.
Then it became a political allegory for The Purge 2. This is a political movie. This
yes,
is just
totally.
A flat-out
yeah.
political film about how awful America can be to itself.
And more so, like, whereas the first film is a home invasion horror movie, the second...
With a political subtext, with a very heavy
oh, yes.
political subtext.
No, no, no. I mean, don't deny any of that, obviously. The second film is an apocalypse survival horror film with a political subtext.
With a political text.
Text.
I think it's much more overt in that.
This one is a action film with a straight-up, overtly political message.
In the movie, if you look at the election map, it mimics the Democrat-Republican map, even down to the states. It's like, it flashes on the screen, and it's like, yep, those are all the Republicans. So basically, the text of that scene is,
yeah.
Republican states would vote for the purge, Democrat states would vote against the
purge.
Well,
I mean, that's the whole
and
thing.
It's like,
is,
holy shit.
And it's, how do you get those swing states?
As much, like, even Carpenter-esque hyperbole is still even in this one. Like, I love the priest in this one who looks like some horrible mutant they've just unchained from the GIMP cage. You know, he's all pale and shaky.
It's like, man, throw that man in a fire.
But they're so, this one so overtly is like, yes, the unholy trinity of mass religion with the Republican Party, with the NRA is what got things this bad. I mean, there's no more allegory anymore. They're just, I'm surprised they're like, the current political situation in America, I mean, the purge, you know?
No, and like, seriously, there was a point towards the end where I was watching it and I was thinking to myself, there is no way we would get this movie, at least in this way, if George W. Bush hadn't been president for, like, 8 years.
Yeah, I think it started long before him.
No, it started... I'm not saying it didn't, but, like, that period of time, I feel like I think we're starting to really be able to have enough distance from it. That really influenced a lot of art, and it's still having an influence today, because that view of the conservative mindset, the conservative view, that is reflected by the writer. I'm not saying I agree with how he views them.
Sure. I mean, you
but
guys...
the writer has a definite, like, these people would fucking kill you in the street rather than pay
well. And you guys
well,
are...
There's a fascinating element to this as well. Yeah. The Purge 2, it was very definitely implied that this was purely a political decision that nobody had realized that, you know, the idea that the whole of the Purge is you can go out and you can kind of get rid of your aggression in one night and move on. And in the second film, it's added in that there's this political element, that this is about keeping down the working class.
Yeah.
And you think, well, it's purely, you know, manipulation by the political hierarchy. And then you realize in this one, these people are crazy religious maniacs who believe they are appointed by God to have half the country try and kill itself. And that is a fascinating component that I think, you know, you really want to talk about how daring this franchise is. To put that in there at this point, which really feels like, you know, the kind of statement about the connection between conservative politics and bloodlust and religiosity in America that you really haven't been able to make since, I think, the 80s.
Yeah, well,
I mean, this felt like a Dead Kennedys album.
Yeah, it was. And to stop anyone
before they comment, why do you guys have to bring politics into this? Shut up!
It's a fucking political film.
You can't not discuss politics when you don't talk about this movie. It's called election year.
Just so we're clear, we're not saying, at least I am not saying I agree with this writer's viewpoint. That's not what I'm saying.
But you're not saying you don't either.
I'm saying, I am saying I don't.
Okay.
For a different, but for, because I think.
You'd be the first up against the wall when the Purge Revolution comes. You realize that, right?
You think I don't know that. Every time I pass by a mirror, sir. But what I'm saying is that, like any artist, he's using hyperbole to make his point.
Yeah, of course.
So I am just, I'm saying I don't agree with his hyperbole.
Yeah.
But I can see his math.
Well, once again, like I said, I don't think he's suggesting that there will ever be a purge. He's not saying, watch out, it's coming. He's not saying that. He's using it as hyperbole to illustrate the existing real problems that are going on and really the sort of bloodlust that does exist in America, the sort of xenophobia.
James DeMonaco, who is the writer-director of the entire Purge franchise, his first big script... Robin Williams' Jack.
I love Jack.
How far can a man come? This is, like, and this does not.
I love that.
I think what is really special about these films is that they have the power and drive of a much younger director. I mean, you can look at how this is shot, the style of it, the aggressiveness of it. This feels like a late 20s director. This is a guy in his late 40s, and I think that amazing combination of having that political longitude on it to be able to look at these things and say, this is, you know, how does this all tie together? What's got, you know, what is the worst possible progression for America to go, which is the idea of the purge, and to evolve the franchise. There's an incredible maturity about this, because this time we've got Frank Grillo back from the Purge Anarchy.
Smart move.
Which is brilliant. The saddest thing for me about Captain America Civil War was that they killed him so fast.
Yeah.
Spoilers!
Like in the first 10 minutes.
I'm imitating Randy right now.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Hush. And he has been hired to look to protect this presidential candidate, who is the one who is promising that she's going to end the purge. Of course, there are vested interests that are not happy with the idea that this is going to happen. So it comes to Frank Grillo, her, and Frank Grillo's punch knife running through the streets.
You gotta love Frank Grillo's punch knife. It's like, I want a shirt that just says Frank Grillo's punch knife.
I think it's fucking awesome. It's like one third Wolverine.
And yeah, very much exactly. In the same way that they did with the Purge Anarchy, interweaving with other people's plots of what they're doing on Purge Night. In this case, it's McKelty Williams, who plays a store owner who's desperately trying to keep his store from being burnt down to the ground by a bunch of evil 16-year-olds, which I think always reinforces that 16-year-olds should never be trusted at all.
Well, this once,
they really are
once again goes back to older director who's like, seriously, these kids scare the shit out of me.
Basically, it's like if somebody threw firearms world's most annoying...
Or at the Mean Girl, at the plastics from the Mean Girls.
Yeah,
yeah.
And just went, have weapons. That's exactly what it is.
A little subplot in the film that is definitely one of the moments in here that is more horror than a lot of the other stuff, but still ultimately sociopolitical, completely.
It's like the Bangers tour, but with firearms. It's really disturbing.
You know, you had a good point in that, I tell you, I didn't realize it until I was just thinking about it. This movie actually tours the prior two movies before really doing its movie. It says, we're going to show you the home invasion this time, store invasion, of the first one.
Yeah.
Then we're going to show you being out in the world of the second one. So you get those two flavors, and then you get to the, okay, big statement, big,
Well, that's
movement. And that's, it's so good.
The first one is your home. Yeah. The next one is your city. This one is your country.
No, but this one, it covers those two as well.
Yeah.
But it uses that as parts along the journey so that you are always thinking about those other movies. Because, Richard, you said the first movie talked about just the broad reason for the purge and purging the emotions. The second one brought in a bit of the class warfare stuff. And then the third one talked about the religious component behind it. And if you think about political belief, you usually do have that really hardcore of people who believe something to almost to the point of being irrational, where you can't question it.
Well past the point of being irrational,
there is,
I would
actually
say,
a moment of speaking in tongues in,
yeah,
this film.
Which, yeah,
was when you get that. This is a film full of what the fuck moments.
Yeah.
That is the most what the fuck moment. And the fact that what I love about the whole way this is presented, yeah, is, again, it's the wander through the city, but, you know, this is DC. This is a place where people have the money to indulge.
And I'm more of a Marvel guy, so. Sorry.
Hush,
child. We're talking about Civil War.
And that people, you'll just wander past these scenes that would be
an entire movie.
Keynote of horror,
yeah,
in another movie. And instead, here, they're just thrown in as this moment where you just go, the craziness that has built up in this person that has been given an opportunity. And what this presents at the end of the day is, if you created something like The Purge, all it means is people with those horrible tendencies, it doesn't purge them of it. It just means they have a year to plan it out.
Yeah.
And to make it even more grotesque and gruesome.
But you make a good point, because it's like, you know, you got that car group, then you got the people who just want to profit off it, you got the people who sort of believe in it, but then you got that crazy group that's going to take that opportunity and just say, like, let's say gun policy.
Yeah.
You got this core group, the NRA, that really likes, you know, we've got to have all guns everywhere. You got other people that, oh, I'm just going to make some money off of it. Then you got the people who are like, it's all right, I guess. I don't really care. And then you got the groups like, I want all the guns in the world because I want to have them. Then you got the really crazy ones who's going to shoot up places.
You know, not everyone who feels that way is from the South, Elliot.
Sorry, hey, if anybody
just
in this...
Just 99% of us.
I'll put it this way. They may not be always from the South, but they are more predisposed.
All right, fair enough. I do think the one part in here that held me back at all was the idea, like, oh, only now the super right wing is holding a political assassination during the purge? That seems unlikely.
But I think the idea is that they, you know, they've had such control over since the new founding fathers of America,
yeah,
with some beautifully creative fascist imagery, which is really snuck in there in a really smart way, that they've had so much complete control and they've got kind of lazy about this, that this is indeed the first time in the 25 years since the NFFA took over that you finally got a formal political opposition that is a threat to them. You know, I think that, you know, that for me worked. I didn't have an issue with that. And the fact that they at one point actually have to throw the rules out to go, no, you can kill people. You don't care. Like, it's not just anybody. You can kill rich people now. Of course you can.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's the same thing you see in the law all the time. It's like, this may technically be legal for everybody, but you have to have X, Y, and Z to actually access it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can technically kill somebody, anybody, but they have like 40 armed guards in a bunker. You're not going to kill them. Like, I just think this movie is so much... This movie is so much smarter than it has any right to be.
That's the story of this franchise.
Well, that's the story of this franchise. Yeah, like, it's just gotten smarter as it's gone along. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, obviously there's still going to be people who this is just going to make mad from the get-go because of the fact that this is a very overtly political film. But fuck them, quite frankly. you know, I hope this is getting to the people that it's meant to be for, where it's saying, look, you know those people you think are on your side because they talk about God and all that, and they say, like, oh, it's your ultimate right. You know, you can't take away these rights. They try and take away your guns. They're going to take away your freedom. It's like, no, those are the guys who want you to die.
Well, and anybody you know? Who looks at this movie and sees, oh, this is only against the right wing, they're not looking deep enough.
Yes.
Because they actually do a good job at showing the conflict in their political system, and I think ours, is not left and right. It's, are you reasonable or not?
Okay, well...
At the end, the guy with I forgot his name... The main resistance guy, he was in the first movie.
Oh, well, are you talking about, because Michael T. Williamson plays the role of, like, the main resistance
Bishop.
Guy, but there's another, yeah, but there's another guy, the only guy who's in all three movies, Edwin Hodge, who plays Dwayne the Stranger.
Yeah. Like, you can see him have to make that decision between what type of person do I want to be, because even if I do this for the right reason, it still makes me bad. And that's sort of what they're trying to set up. It's like, you can, it's whether you believe the ends justify the means. Because The Purge is largely, at least what they tell people, it's like, you know, we have this one night where you can commit any crime you want because it makes us safe for the rest of the year. So the ultimate question is like, do you believe the ends justify the means, and how, and they just sort of use this as art to present that prism, you know, writ large. So, I mean, it's just, it's amazing to me that they can make something that you can think about this deep during the summer, but that is just not boring at all.
Yeah, no, not even, this didn't let up for a second.
It lets up for like 2 seconds, and even then I was like, yeah, I sort of need that for a second.
Even when it's taking its moment to
it's like,
cement things and go like, wait, we actually are trying to say something, so give us a second.
Yeah.
It's happening so tight and so right in the middle of all the tension that it never feels like they're lecturing to you for a second. Despite the fact I would be okay with them lecturing to me because I like what they're saying, they don't, that is not the thing anymore. Well, but let's get away from the politics.
Sorry.
And because we've set it out. We've set our piece on the politics.
Yeah, just, I can talk all day.
Talk about like the other stuff going on in here. I actually think there's a lot of really great performances in here. I really like, and I'm blanking on his name, the guy who plays the new lovable black guy.
Joe,
yeah.
I forgot his name.
Yeah, who is like the guy who's kind of the audience avatar in some ways.
He's like T.I. in Takers.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause there's a point in T.I. where, like, in Takers where T.I. just starts making jokes at the screen, and he's a character in the movie, and you're like, okay, this movie's doing that now. And, like, there's a point where Joe's like, well, I like these white folks, so I'm not going to let you kill them.
Yeah,
and I was like, man, that's what my dad
He goes, hey, guys, I like black folks, but these white folks are with me.
Well, I'm not going to kill them. And I'm like, that's some shit. I just say it like that was it was a very satisfying movie to watch.
Well, they have a nice relationship between him and his clerk, who they're setting up as like, which is also part of this bigger picture of commentary where he's like, this guy is this a Mexican who came into his country 7 years ago with no experience and just wanted to work, gave him a job, they became friends, and when it came down to it, this guy wouldn't stand getting away from Joe's side no matter what.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's a charming characteristic to these people that make you really like who all these people are. I think as well, Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost, who plays the main character, it's nice that they decide to, rather than going with audience, sort of like letting the audience bloodthirst kick in, she sticks to her guns, so to speak, and they stick to the message the whole way through. There's a crucial moment in the third act where you're like, you're mad for a second because your bloodlust has kicked in.
And they use that on purpose. Like, they do that really smartly because, like, there's a part, like you said in the third act, where they don't do something and you find yourself as the audience member like, well, motherfucker, they purged. Don't you go purge. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do. Like, this is and I'm not trying to exaggerate, but, like, it's Nolan was trying to do something like this and, you know, bring the audience into the film with Inception.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying to, like,
okay,
you use that storytelling. He does it with a lot of his films, like Interstellar, with the film looking like time and all that. Like, this movie, I feel like, did a better job because at a certain point, you are a spectator at a purge, and the people that they have set you up the entire movie to root for are about to kill somebody, and you're just as bloodthirsty as the people on the screen, even though it's not real.
It's actually
really an achievement.
Pretty smart what they do there. Yeah. But go ahead into your final thoughts.
Yeah, I'm just really surprised by how good this was. I didn't like the first one that much. Like, I liked the premise, and I liked the performances, and I liked Lena Headey, but it sort of fell flat for me. It was a little boring. Second one was a lot better. This one, man, this is just good. This is just straight up good. I think they do a lot of good things here. It's not perfect. To me, they have a few cheap jump scares throughout the movie that I really don't feel like serves any real purpose. But if I'm going to be completely honest, I got to give this a 9... Frank Grillo knives out of 10.
Damn.
I can't give it any lower, honestly. I want to, but I can't.
Richard?
The only thing that doesn't feel timely about this film is the fact that the evil presidential candidate, played by the great Carl Secor, who played Tim Bayless in Homicide Life on the Streets, and is such a fucking...
Oh!
There! Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I know, it was driving me crazy too.
Is a religious zealot rather than an oligarchical maniac. This is the political allegory America needs right now, and it's dressed up in an extraordinary piece of cinema that is a great action film with some incredible visuals. This is, you know, this franchise never fails to impress or to take turns that, while you can see where you want it to go, and quite often it'll get there, it'll still surprise you on route. And that's a rarity. This is one of the few times where a franchise has improved over time. The fact that it will bounce characters in and out,
yeah,
very rare that anything will do that. The only one I can think of that would do something similar is the Saw films, and I think this does this better. This is just phenomenal stuff. I got to give this, and only because I actually like The Purge Anarchy slightly more, I am going to give this 9 out of 10 bloodstained Lincoln monuments.
Indeed.
You read my mind. That's where I thought you were going.
I'm kind of with you. I think I like the second one better, if for no reason that, like, visually, it continually impresses with just the horror of the night being almost absurd. It's so surreal. And the situations they get themselves in are, like, genuinely scary, some of the moments that they find themselves in, just from the whole, like, what the fuck would you do? Because you don't even know what is happening at that moment. It's just so weird. And they touch on that here at moments. But overall, yes, this is definitely much more of an action film than a horror film. And as that, it largely succeeds. I feel like there's some moments I'm like, well, as an action movie judger, it could have been done better. Like, there's a final fight between Frank Grillo and the main guy who looks like Anthony Michael Hall. I'm sorry.
Reminds me of Dolph Lundgren.
He looks like he's got that weird, like, you know, Anthony Michael Hall got to, like, be, like, it turned into Hamburger Head, and yeah, he's all muscular now and kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I thought it was him. But
I thought it was Dolph Lundgren for a while.
But the final fight between the two of them is, like, I mean, it's okay, but it definitely could have been a lot better if you're making an action film.
It could have been better, but it was fucking brutal.
And even the action in the previous one when they did it was better, I thought. But that being said, you're much more into the characters in this one in a lot of ways. They definitely have, like, it connects to you as an audience member in a bigger way, especially if you're like, wow, these people scare the fuck out of me in my normal life. Imagine if they had The Purge to work with. I did definitely really like this, and I give it 8 out of 10 really awesome, disturbing masks.
Yes.
Whew. Yeah, I'm surprised it's just not a Purge Halloween store.
That's a little too close to home. Like,
give
we don't
it
need
time.
That.
Give it time.